All right, brothers. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, man, good to be here. You know, this is a miracle. I've had the privilege of being in 47 states, Canada, Mexico, Barbados, South Africa, and there's not too many men meeting at lunchtime. You know, there's a lot of, well, let's put it this way. There's a lot of men meeting at lunchtime, but they're at strip clubs, you know, or someplace like that. But it's a blessing to be able to come here this afternoon and see men carrying the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Guys, I want to tell you about a miracle that's been happening in your community for about 10 years. It's called Sports World Incorporated. We're out of Indianapolis. We're 12 ex-professional football players that travel all over the world going into public schools. And let me tell you, public schools, I'm in the greatest mission field in America. Listen to this, guys. 56 million kids in our public schools. And the Gallup poll said last year over 80% have no church affiliation. Now that just says church affiliation. Now those 20% might be going to church, but the gospel's never being preached. So that number could be even higher, and it's staggering. For the past 24 years, I've been traveling across the world sharing with young people in our schools the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, guys, not a higher power, not the man upstairs, not God, but Jesus Christ. There's nothing illegal of a man or woman going into a public school and telling people what they know, what they've seen and experienced, and who's made the difference in his life. This morning I spoke to over 1,000 kids in Northwestern. You see the schedule I have there on the table. Guys, I live in San Antonio, Texas. We have three chaplains, military chaplains, in our church in San Antonio that I attend. The government and the U.S. military are telling the chaplains in the military, that you cannot minister in Jesus' name. This morning I spoke to over 1,000 kids, and the last 7 minutes of my 40-minute presentation, I told the kids how Jesus Christ changed my life. Now you guys know that book of Revelation 12 and 11 says what? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Our testimonies, we that know Jesus, we have embraced the cross and trust in Jesus Christ alone for our eternal security. That is a powerful tool in God's hand, guys. I've given my testimony, all praise to the Lord, over 5,000 times now. And men and women, young men and ladies, have surrendered their life to Christ, not because of me, but because someone had the guts enough to share Jesus Christ with them. Guys, don't be afraid of saying Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Yeah, say Jesus. Jesus. Don't. We're Christians. Don't pray in Christ's name, in your name, in that name or that great name. Get used to using the word Jesus. Because he said it's no other name. People hate the name of Jesus. We need to be able to share that freely. And that's what we do. We don't tell people what to do in the school. We just tell them what happened to us. This is what's made the difference in my life. And I've had the privilege of being with this group for 24 years. We're in our 30-year anniversary this coming August. We've never charged the school a dime. There's men and women that do what I do in public schools. When they leave the school, one assembly, $2,500, $5,000 for one school assembly. We've never charged the school a nickel. We say if people, you're going to charge people, they're going to try to tell you what to say. We don't charge people. Tom Helms here in Kokomo has been behind our program and being the captain of this program for 10 years. I'm the 10th speaker that's come here from Sports World. Tom said this summer, Rich, I think Kokomo's finally ready for you. So I'm here, was in schools yesterday, today. I'm going to be here Tuesday, going to speak in a detention center, preach at First Baptist on Sunday morning, and do some other things. I said, guys, that someone had the guts enough to come into that school this morning and share the love of Jesus with those kids. Well, 24 years ago, I was in my third year of professional football. I was playing my first year of the United States Football League with the Philadelphia Stars. At that time, I was about as tall as I am right now, 6 feet, 1 inch tall. Back then, I weighed 275 pounds. And I wish I weighed 275 pounds this morning. But at that time, 24 years ago, I could bench press 510 pounds. Full squat, 650 pounds. Run a 4.9, 40-yard dash. I was a pulling guard. My rookie year, I gave my mom a check with more money on it than she ever saw one time. And for the first 3 years of pro football, every time I got paid, my mama got paid. Had a foreign car. Went to church every Sunday. Wore a cross around my neck. But guys, I had no power in my life at all because I was a religious person. And the worst thing you could call me this afternoon is a religious person. The worst thing you could call me today, guys, is a religious person. I don't know if you know this, guys, but the guys who blew up our twin towers a few years ago, they were religious people. The ones strapping bombs on them and walking into restaurants and blowing up innocent people, they're religious people. The guys with the collars turned upside down that have been molesting children in churches for decades, they're religious people. Religious people are our biggest opponent in the schools. Religious people. I was in a school in Illinois. I got done speaking. I was signing autographs. There was a lady sitting over there. Principal came up to me and the principal said, Reverend so-and-so wants to talk to you after you're done with the kids. So I walked over to Reverend so-and-so. I thought she was going to hug my neck, give me a holy kiss. She started screaming and hollering at me. I know you're kind. Now listen to what I just told her kids. Stay no to drugs. Don't ever start drinking alcohol. Stay pure till you're getting married. Respect authority. She was screaming at, and then I told her how, told the kids how Jesus changed my life, and she was screaming at me. Religious people were the ones that Jesus got so upset with. He called them a brood of snakes, a brood of vipers. You're snakes that bite and kill. Worst thing you could call me today is a religious person. 24 years ago, I was getting ready to play a game in Tampa Bay, Florida, in Buccaneers Stadium. And an old man named Doc Eshelman came to speak that day. He's the founder of this ministry for 30 years. He passed away 2 years ago at about 89. His son, you probably heard of his first son, Paul Eshelman's been the director of the Jesus film for Campus Crusade, now translated the book of Luke over, translated now over 600 languages around the world. He trained us old guys with Sports World. Doc was the speaker that day, and his message that day changed my life. The message that changed Rich Garza's life 24 years ago. I wasn't living under a bridge. I wasn't locked up. I wasn't homeless. I was at the top of my game. Was the difference, everybody say difference, between religion, what I had for 25 years, and biblical Christianity. You see, guys, religion is man or woman's greatest effort to reach God. Striving, man-made rituals, man-made push-ups. And at the end of a religious person's life, you could ask him or her, are you going to heaven when you die? A religious person will always say this, I don't know. I hope so. Because a religious person plays, look at here, guys. Religious person plays a scale game. Religious person know they've done some good things, but man, they know they've done some not so good things. And a religious person at the end of his life, he doesn't know or she doesn't know if they did enough good things to outdo the bad things. So a religious person is very insecure if they're going to heaven. There's been religious people, religious hierarchy and religious institutions all over the country, all over the world. When they died, they told all the people under them, no one knows if they could go to heaven when they die for sure. Well, if you ever read the book of 1 John, the Epistle of John, at the back of the book, first five chapters uses the word K-N-O-W 32 times. How many guys know this afternoon? You can know if you're going to heaven or not. He said, he who has the Son has eternal life. Jesus was very narrow-minded in John 14:6. He said, I'm the way, not one of the ways. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl will go to heaven except through faith in me alone. You see, guys, religion is due. But biblical Christianity, it's done. I've been the chaplain of the world champion San Antonio Spurs for the past 12 years. Before the games, we bring a Bible study for the guys. I often teach out of a little book around Easter time. It's called The Seven Sayings of the Savior on the Cross. Here's my favorite thing that Jesus said on the cross. It's finished. It's finished. It's over. My death has taken care of men and women's sin. You see, guys, religion is due. I don't care what ism you tell me about. I don't care what ism you tell me about. I've studied them all. They'll all tell you and your wife, your grandchildren, your brother, your sister. They'll tell everyone on earth, you got to do something to get to heaven. I don't care what ism you tell me. I don't care what ism you talk about. Religion is about doing. Biblical Christianity is done. And then Doc shared a beautiful verse with me, John 1:12. For as many as received Jesus, to him or her he's given the right, the authority to be children of God, even those who believe on his name. You see, guys, it sounds real good when you hear somebody say, we're all God's children. No, we're not all God's children. We're all God's creation. John 1:12 says, for as many as received Jesus, and let me show you what the word receive means. The word receive means to take to yourself and call your very own at a specific time in a person's life. Let me tell you what religion says. All you second graders, you're all Christians this year. All you fifth graders, you're all Christians this year. No, it's an individual thing, guys. John 1:12 says, for as many as received Jesus. The word is appropriate. Take to oneself and call your very own. It's kind of like the Christmas gift. The gift is under the tree wrapped in green with a gold bow on it. Your name's in the right-hand corner. It's under the tree. Someone sacrificed for that gift, paid for that gift, but that gift don't do you one bit of good until what happens? You received the gift. See, and then verse 13 says this. People don't know much about this verse. They only know that John 1:12, for as many as received Jesus. But 13 says, those who receive Jesus, they're born not of blood. In other words, those who receive Jesus aren't born into Christianity. He says, those who receive are not born of blood, listen, nor the will of the flesh. In other words, it's not like, you know what? In about 10 years, when I'm married to queen of all queens and we got a little 3-4 puppies and a pond in the backyard, you know, I might talk about giving my life to Jesus. No, it ain't about that. You don't give your life to Jesus whenever you want to. He said, those who receive Jesus are not born of blood, nor the will of the flesh. Listen to this. Nor the will of man. In other words, guys, I can't confirm biblical salvation on you. And either can any other man. I don't care how many years he's been in seminary. I don't care how many upside down collars he has. You cannot be confirmed into eternal life. He says those who receive Jesus were not born of blood. You're not born into it. Worst testimony in the church. Oh, I've always been a Christian. Sorry. David said, in my mama's womb I was conceived in sin. In other words, even before he was born he was a sinner. No one was always a Christian. You're not born into it. You can't think next week I'm going to put it on my calendar. Not the will of the flesh, nor the will of the man. No one can confirm it on you. But listen what it says. Those who receive Jesus were not born of blood, not the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. Listen, but of God. You see, salvation, guys, is all about God. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. God has to do something in your life. But here's how he does it. Romans 10:17 in closing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the words concerning Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news. Faith comes by hearing. I lead my family 100 nights a year, guys. I miss a 7th grade football game. I'm going to miss my high school game this week. I go for one reason, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell my kids and my wife, I would never leave my family for any other reason. John 3:16 is in the Bible once. Three times in the gospel it says, those who leave for my sake and the sake of the gospel will be given 100-fold, 90-fold, 60-fold in this life and in the world, in the life everlasting. I go for one reason, guys, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't go into schools to be a motivational speaker, even though that's what they call me. I go for a purpose, to share how Jesus changed my life and how he could change your life. Here's one of my favorite words in the Bible, whosoever. I've been on death row twice. I've been in the biggest dungeons in America with guys in rifle towers with razor wire all around. Guys for 40 years to life in prison, 1,400 of them. And I screamed it in the yard. Here's my favorite word in the Bible, whosoever. Guys, will every one of you bow your head and close your eyes? And no one looking around. I'm not going to beg anybody. If there's someone here today, you don't know for sure if you die back going back to work that you'll go to heaven when you die. If you don't know for sure, if you're one of those that have been confirmed into it, but there's never been a time where you've received Jesus by faith. Guys, tell him what he already knows about you. Tell him you're a sinner. Tell him there's no way you're going to get from Kokomo, Indiana to heaven when you die other than faith in Jesus alone. Receive him by faith, guys. Tell him you're a sinner. Tell him I'm tired of being religious and faking it. Confess to him, Lord, you're the only way I'm going to make it from Kokomo to heaven when I die. It's not what I can do. That's religion. It's faith in what you did for me, Jesus. And faith in what you did, Jesus, alone, guys. It ain't faith in Jesus and some kind of rituals you can hold or man-made ceremonies you can make. It's faith in Jesus Christ alone. Well, no one looking around, is there anybody this morning, this afternoon, with your head down, your eyes closed, is there anybody to say, Rich, I nailed it down right now. Will you lift up your hand as high as you can lift it? Lift it real high, guys. I'm the only one looking around. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Rich, I nailed it down today at lunch. Anyone else? Just raise your hand up and put it down. Lord, thank you for this afternoon. Thank you again, Lord, for these men that would gather, not for pizza, but to hear you, to feel you, to be with others that love you. Thank you for this gentleman that raised his hand, that you touched on his life today. Lord, it brings me back to my day of salvation. I was the only one standing that day in that chapel. I was the only one with players and coaches around. I was the only one standing. Thank you, God, for what you're allowing us to do. Thank you for these men, even in this room, that have given out of their increase so we can go and share the gospel. And Lord, I pray there might be others that would like to get on board to the greatest mission field in America. 56 million kids, 80% don't go to church. We love you, Lord. We thank you for taking our place on that cross, doing something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.